Thank you all for coming to the Tour of Kabura. I want to thank Ruth Berman for helping out with Makoto and for making this Kabura workout every week and giving me the opportunity to give it to Vartora, to give the shir. Just wanted to pick off from around where we left off on the Gemara after the Mishnah of the list of women that do not receive their ketubah. And just to do a little bit of chazara on the Mishnah that we've been focusing on. So this is the first makor in the Marmakomot sheet. It's the Mishnah in Bet Aman Aleph. Ve'elu yotzot shelo b'ketubah ha'over al dat Moshe v'Yehudi. So these are the women that they leave the marriage. The husband can divorce them and they don't have to pay them the ketubah. The Mishnah splits them into two categories. However, al dat Moshe v'Yehudi. So women that violate the law of Moshe, and women that violate the dat Yehudi. And then later on the Mishnah, they ask Vezu who dat Yehudi. What is that? And then there's a whole list, and we've been going beyond in a lot of them, especially those dealing with revealing parts of the body. But now we're onto a different inyan, which is Abba Shaul Omer, Af HaMekalelet Yolda B'Fanav. So the rest of them have been a Stam Mishnah, and now we have even, Abba Shaul, he says, even so, a woman who curses Yolda B'Fanav, and we'll have to see what that is. It looks like she's cursing someone who's born in front of him, so it's kind of vague. But Gemara will explain what that term means, and even after, well, okay, so we'll see how the Gemara explains this. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, this is on Ayin Bet Amud Bet. So Makalet Yolidav Bifnei Molidav. So this is talking about a case where she's cursing the Yolidav Bifnei Molidav. The it sounds like the ones who gave birth to him before the ones that he gave birth to. So there's a lot of grammar going on here, but Lashon Mafiel or is it Nifal? So when someone is Leholid is to give birth, so that's Lashon of Yolidav, and those are the parents. And then Bifnei Molidav, so Molidav, that's seems to be a lashon nifal, that someone is born by someone else. So sounds like it's by a lower generation, but it's not so clear what that is. So we'll have to see. The simnayach, and a great way to remember that is a pasuk in Vayichi, Ephraim Menashe Kruvin v'Shimon Yuli, that Ephraim and Menashe will be like Reuven and Shimon. So you see that Ephraim and Menashe are the grandsons of Yaakov, but Yaakov says they should be like Reuven and Shimon, which are like my sons. So you see that the grandsons are like the sons. Amar Rabba, de Amrale Nechle Arye Lisaba Abapebre. Rabba says that it's a case where she's saying to him, a lion should eat the grandfather in front of his son. So again, also not so clear exactly what she's saying and whether this is necessarily a machloket with Rabbi Yehuda or is Rabbi explaining Rabbi Yehuda. So we have to see the different shitas. So Rashi says Makaled Yolidav, so Klomar Befanav, so that means before him, the Matnitin Lefanav Mamash, Elafilu Makaled Aviv Shaba Bifnei Beno Shaba. So it's even if she curses the father of the husband before the son of the husband, so it's a chiddush, meaning it's not only if she curses her in-laws in front of her son or in front of her children. It's even if she curses in front of her husband. Oh, no, sorry, sorry. It's the opposite way around. It's not only if she curses in front of her husband, it's even if she curses in front of the son of her husband. So that's even, somehow it's a bigger chiddush that that's what Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel is trying to teach us. Rashi says that, so how is that a simon for us? Al Mishnah Tino Lizkor Al Yido the Befun of the Matnitin Lo Tima Befun of Mamash Ella Befne Bno Kamar Vavikilu Befun of. So how does that work? So it looks like the Iker Isser is, or I don't know, I don't want to call it this, but the Iker problem that's going on here is that she is cursing her in-laws in front of her husband. And if she does that in front of her son, it's as if she's cursing her in-laws in front of her husband, and therefore Yotzi V'yitin Ketubah. So that's what Rashi says for why we need to have that second stage of that connection. And then Ephraim Umnasha Bnei Banav Kabanav. So that's why we have to have that equation. Amar Rabba Lufrushe Milta de Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabba's just trying to explain Rabbi Yehuda. Could go into Amra Nechle Arye Lisaba Chamia. And then Babi Brei Bifnei Bno Shaba Omer came. So it means that she's saying it in front of the son of the Baal, meaning her son. She's saying, you know, I hope that a lion eats Zaidi, you know. So it's a terrible thing to tell her son, but you know, that's it's considered to be even worse if she were to tell her husband that. But since she told her son that, it's as if she told her husband that, and therefore Yosi Vitin Ketuba. So that's Rashi's chat, and Tosa goes along with that. Also if look on the sheet, Yolidav Ifnei Molidav, Lomi Baya Bifnei Baal. It's not only Bifnei Baal, Kedetani Bimanitin, Ela Bifnei Molidav, Dahainu Banav Shabbal. It's even the sons of the Baal. Lot Kalel Aviv Shabbal Bifneim. So even the sons. So he doesn't explain why if we go like the way Rashi explains the Gemara, so it sounds like it, so you could say again it's a bigger chiddush because, you know, they're an extension of the Baal. So that's why also in that case Yotzi V'yitin Ketubah. So a lot of times the way the Mishnah is to teach a bigger chiddush, so we know not only the Ikar Halacha but even the bigger chiddush. The Yesh Mefarshim. Okay, so now we're going to see something else that. Is a different way of reading this Mishnah. Yolidav bifnei molidav. So what does that mean? Zikno shabal bifnei haba. So it means if she curses the ones who gave birth before the ones who was given birth to by the ones who gave birth. So we're only talking about two generations away, meaning her husband. So only in that case, Yotzi V'yitin Ketubah. Ki hechi d'navi davka b'fanav d'manitin. Okay, so that's another way of explaining the Mishnah. That really it's bifnei molidav, which is just a fancy way of saying the Baal. So the lohi, but Tosfos rejects this. The Hamafarsh Rabba, the Amra nechli arye l'saba ba'apei brei mashma brei de Baal. So you can't explain it like that because right after that, Rabba, who's explaining the what we just said, he's saying Nech Arye the Saba Ape Bred. He's talking about a son, so you can't just say, well, it's really talking about a Baal. No, Rabba's saying it's the son. So what would be a way to get around this and try to defend the Yesh Mefarshim? Because we're about to see a very big posek who holds like the Yesh Mefarshim. So maybe you could, what's that?
Like Bray,
that what?
The son of the...
Oh, Ba'api Bray. Oh. So that's what I thought. So the Rambam, the next Makor, he's on. I left out, it's Hilchot Ishut, Chavtala Halacha Yudbet. O Shehaita Mekalela Avi Bala Bifnei Bala. This is like the last one on the list of you know, in the Rambam, in I'm not sure if he even counts the Kolani, but I don't know Yin Sham. But he says he just Mikalel Avi Bala, but he doesn't Bifnei Bala. But where's the son? So the answer is the Rambam doesn't hold. The Rambam holds like the Yishim Forshim that it's Davka Bifnei Bala, and not the son. So what's going on here? So it sounds like he's saying, like Danny said, that Ba'api Brei means the son of who? The son of her father-in-law. The son of her father-in-law is her husband. So she's just saying to her husband that an Aryeh should eat Saba. Either she has a son, so he's still called Saba, or Saba could just mean a general term for an old person, like we saw in last week's Parsha in Bukhukotai that talks about why is it that the ages get older, so then the rate of decrease for Erchin is higher for a man compared to a woman. So Rashi says that that it decreases a lot less for a woman because Savta Beveta, Sima Beveta, it's a great treasure to have an old woman in your house. And it's not such a good thing to have an old man in your house. So it's called a Saba. So it could be just a Stam old man. So it could be that I'm just referring to an old man in general, even if they don't have any kids. So the Kesef Mishnah explains, so the question is, so how do we understand how is the Rama reading the Gemara? So is it two separate parts or they're all going together? So according to the Kesef Mishnah, the Rambam is not reading the second part of the Gemara explaining the first part. It's not that Rabbah is coming to explain Rabbi Yehuda. Rava is being cholik on Rabbi Yehuda, and he's holding that it's not shaykh bifnei bala. So, meaning, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel is saying mekalela yolidav bifnei molidav. So that is saying even that it's shaykh even by the sons, although the truth is you could also explain that the way the Yish Mefarshim. So that would be a way that you don't even have to come onto the Kesef Mishnah. But another way of explaining the Rambam is to say that really Rabbah's not even arguing in the first. You could just explain Pashut that Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel is saying Mekalelet Yolidav Bifnei Molidav, and that it just flows better that way because you're talking about multiple generations. It's complicated language because it's more of a complicated case. You have a grandfather and you have a grandson. So that's the case. But Rabbah is arguing and saying, no, de amra le nechle arya l'saba ba'ape brei. So that's only the bifnei bala. So, either part of the Gemara you could kind of read either way, but that's how the Kesef Mishnah explains the Rambam. So, just to ask a couple broad questions about how this din fits into the general structure. By the way, if any of you have questions on what we, so not that I can answer them, but you know at least we could talk about it. So the question that I had was that the kilalat chameha or chamuteha, that is part of dat Yehudi. So that's against dat Yehudi. So that's not dat Moshe. It's not d'oraita. It's d'rabana. So that's saying that cursing her in-laws is an Isser D'Rabbanan, but it's not an Isser D'Oraita. So I was wondering about that because, you know, cursing our parents is an Isser Deoraita Chumura Biyoter. So it says in Kedushin, Lamed Amad Bet in Makor, Amar Shmuel Chaf Aleph Yud Zayin, Mekal Aviv V'Imo Mot Yumad. This is death penalty. V'namar Ish Ish Kiya Kalel Alokav Anasav Chato. If a person curses his God, he will bear his sin. Hishra Akatov Birkat Ha'avim L'Birkat Amakom. So the Pasuk equates cursing, it's lashon saginah, of like a euphemism for cursing is birkat avim libirkat amakom, to cursing Hashem. So according to that, and not only that, but it's even worse than hitting, because if someone were to hit their parents, so they get chenek. So that's one of the lower. Obviously getting killed by Beit Din is very chamor, but on the lower end of the spectrum you have chenek, strangulation, but on the higher end, the most chamor, according to one shita, major opinion is that skila is the worst type of death. So, and that's for cursing. So it looks like cursing is even more stringent than hitting. So how could we say that by cursing her in-laws it's only a derabanan? So the thing is that so the question is, well, what about it, in-laws? So we know that parents, it's this really chamor lav that comes along with an iser skila. So the question is, what about are we obligated to honor our in-laws? So the Shulchan Aruch in Yoradeya, Reish Mem, Halacha, Sif, Chaf, says, Chayiv Adam L'Chabed Chamiv, and seems to be a din d'oraita. I'm not sure exactly. I mean, Mestama, it's just like Chayiv L'Chabed Aviv Imo, Chayiv L'Chabed Chamiv V'Chamot Tav. So it seems to be a din d'oraita there. So it seems to be also on the flip side for her, that she would need to be mechabed her parents, meaning her in-laws, just like he's chayv to mechabed his in-laws, and we see a halacha for that in Shulchan Aruch Yoradeya Shin Ayin Dalet Siman Vav Kol Mishim Mitabel Alav Mitabel Imo. So meaning it goes both ways. If he mourns for someone for him, so that person would mourn for him. So how does that work? Let's say someone dies. V'davka ba'udo b'fanav is still while his life while shlo b'fanav eitz rech l'nhogavil chutz mi'ishto. So the exception is his wife. Sha'af ha'pish mit'abel alah. So even though he mourns for his wife, einu mit'abel ima, so he doesn't mourn with her if she's an avela. So ella al avia, unless her father passed away, o al ima, or her mother passed away, mishum kvod chamiv v'chamuto. So we see an application of this din of the chiyuv to honor our in-laws. V'chein he ena mitabel et imo, but she doesn't. And same thing. So she doesn't mourn with him. Ella kishe meto chamia o chamuta aval shah krova shemeto ena mitabel et imo. So it looks like even though we don't have this din of mourning for someone, mourning along with someone else, but the one exception is in-laws. So it seems like in-laws, both for the wife and for the husband, there seems to be this chiyuv, and the question is what exactly does this mean in terms of the Isra Klala? So it could be, so there's different options that I mean, maybe I could just hear from you guys what you were thinking about how you could work this out with all that we've seen, that somehow we can get the klala down to just a derabanan dat yehudi, and that it's not like a violation of dat moshe. I don't know if you guys had any. Oh, okay. Oh, what's that?
Yeah,
you stumped.
But now, as you're saying, it must be that there's curses that don't carry with it in a certain.
Ah.
The rites must be saying bad things.
The kalet, so it's lav davka. It's not a. Well, okay. So we'll see.
Question is, what is how to define the curse?
Right. So that's important to talk about that. Okay. So first, that was actually my last answer because I think that might be the best one. Okay. But my first answer that I had is maybe this. So the kavod that it. I'm not sure. So one thing I thought you could possibly say that the kavod for in-laws is derabanan. I don't know. It seems kind of docha because it's not. I mean, if it.
It's, why not? What's the makor?
You should. Well, so you're saying there's no makor, so if it's just. I don't know. If you say ishto kagufo, something like that. I don't know. I'm not sure. I was like searching around to see like if some of the portion would say straight black and white, like this is Doreter, this is Doreter. I wasn't so, but I mean, so until I see otherwise, there's that possibility out there. But another option that I thought of is that maybe Klala is not connected to Kavod. Meaning we have these dinim that of Avelut and Kavod, but could it be that Klala is meaning even though there's a din of Kavod, there's the din of klala would be less than that, but I thought that would also be docha because if there's din to be mechabed, even in the case of sitting shiva with her, her sitting shiva with him, so then kav chomer being isra klala, so that seems even more chomer. But okay, so I'm not so sure about that answer. But another answer I thought is that maybe it's an isra do raita of klala. If it's before the parents, meaning when it says, "Do not curse your parents," so what does the pasuk say? It says in the Gemara in Kiddushin. Wait a minute. Is there a Gemara in Kiddushin that I after the Rambam?
Yeah.
Oh, there it is. Okay, yeah. Right. Yeah. So Makala Aviv Imo Mot Yumat. I'll underline that. So, right. Okay. So he's cursing his mother and father. So at first I thought, well, maybe you could say that the Isser is Makal Avivimo, just like Makeh Avivimo. So just like to punch the parents, you have to be in front of them. So too, to curse them, you got to be in front of them. What's the case of the Mishnah? The case is she's cursing her in-laws in front of her husband, in front of her son. There's no case here where she's cursing her in-laws in front of her in-laws. But I was just thinking now, it's don't have to say that answer also, because you have the din of the Isser Klala even la'achar kvura. So how does that work out? Because that's not the fun of either. So if there's a special din by parents that even after they die, so we can't curse them. So then kav chomer if they're alive. It's just that it's not in front of them, so then that should also be usher. So I don't know. And stomach is your doraita also. So the fourth answer that I thought that might actually work out is that maybe a klala is only an iser doraita if it mentions Shem Hashem. And it turns out there's a Shulchan Aruch that says like this. So it is Reish Mem Aleph. Simon Aleph, Hamakala Aviv Oimo, Afil La'achar Mintato, Chayv Skila, Imchu Be'edim Vehatra, Echad Ha'ish Ve'achad Ha'isha Shekolo. And even if there's no Edim Vehatra, it's still Doraita. So that seems like it bring down the halacha. This is Isser Skila, and it's Bein Ish Bein Isha and. From what we've seen, it seems like it should be even for in-laws. Medvarim umurim, shkalum b'shem me hashemu hamyuchadim. It's only when they curse the parents or maybe the in-laws with special names. Avakilam b'kinoi, but if it's just, so to speak, a nickname of Hashem, eno chayav el b'lav, k'ma makala acham Yisrael. So he's only chayav a lav, like someone who curses a Jew, just a regular Jew, not parents. So that's okay. But then, so you're knocking it down from an Isra Skiva. So we made a little bit of progress, but that doesn't help us because still against that Moshe to do a lav. But it could be that a klala. So I saw in some places that a klala is only midoraita if it has Shem Hashem. So let me see if I think the Rambam paskins the same way as meaning Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rambam. I should have showed the Rambam first, but it's, he says the same thing in all the way at the bottom. Rambam Hilchot Mamrim Perek Chamishi Halacha Bet. Okay. Okay, sure. Eno chayiv skila ad shi yekalalim b'shem min hashem hamiyuchadim. Aval im kelam b'kinoi poter min haskila. V'lo k'kederach shaloka al kala kol adam kasher Yisrael. So it's the same thing that we've seen, that it's still going to be a lav, even if he doesn't use one of the shemon hamiyuchadim. So the question is, what if he were to curse even if it's not even a kinoi, and what if it's a case where it's not even using Shem Hashem b'chlal? So what is the case of the Mishnah? So the case of the Mishnah is that it's nechle aryeh l'saba ba'apri brei. The father should the a lion should eat grandfather in front of, and she says that in front of the son, either her husband or her own son. So where's the Shem? Is that a kinoi for Shem Hashem? So what, some of the Porshim actually say that is one of the Shem Hashem. Yeah, Aryeh. So I was thinking about that because just named my son Ariel, so that's like double Shem Hashem right there. So they actually say that Aryeh is one of the Shemon of Hashem, and I found a pasuk for this in Hosea Yud Aleph. Pasuk Yod, Acharei Hashem Yochu, Ka'arye Yishag, Ki Hu Yishag, Ve'yachadu Benim Miyam. So after Hashem, they will walk, and then comparing Hashem to a lion who roars, because he, Hashem, will roar, and all of the sons from the ocean will tremble. Miyama, I guess, even from very far away. So it looks like that is one of the Shemot of Hashem, at least a kinoi. So if you go like that, it looks like even then there should be an Issa d'Oraita. But the question is, how is that is across the board? Meaning, it could be that there's some that say that the combination of that Aryeh is not considered to be one of the Shemot of Hashem, meaning not even a kinoi, and maybe if it's not even a kinoi, so it knocks it down from lav to a durabanan. So I mean, I haven't seen that out there, but that's the only way I can try to understand how this could possibly be only an Isra durabanan. But I'm still open to suggestions for everyone, and the next question I had is based on the Shulchan Aruch that quotes this din. So in Evan Ezer Kuf Ayin Vav Simen Dalad, Ezuhi Dat Yehudi, He Minhag Hatzniut Shenahagu Benot Yisrael. This is the minhag of modesty that the daughters of Israel have been accustomed to such an extent that it becomes a real dat. It becomes like the law, and there's a lot of minhagim like that, like, you know, Kippa, for example. The Elohim Advarim Shim Asa'a Achamehem Avra Adat Yehudi. So these are the things that if she does one of them, then she violates the law of the Jewish women. Shahaita, okay, so skipping the dinim that we've learned. Shahaita makalela avi bala bifnei bala. She's cursing the father of her husband in front of her husband. Aha. So according to Shulchan Aruch, looks like, go like the Rambam, maybe it's only Davka, her husband. So then we see in the Ramah, Yeshom Shduhu Adim in Kala Afilo Avi Bala Bifnei Atzmo. Wow. Okay. So now, if we go like this, that even if she curses even the father of her husband, Bifnei Atzmo, in front of himself, meaning she's this is a face to face confrontation. So this makes it a lot more difficult because, I mean, according to what we've been saying, like you can't. Well, either way, it's there's no way you can get around this being a full out, klala. Chayn mashman perish Rashi bigmar view of Beit Yosef. Hu adin amekalela bala b'fanav. So that's the same meaning. It's taking it to a level higher. It's not. We were saying before, cursing her. Cursing her in-laws in front of her husband and Hu Adin, her son, but now we're saying cursing her in-laws in front of her in-laws and Hu Adin, her husband. So that's in the Ramban b'chot acham elu teisev lo ketuba im yesh edim shehitra ba tchila ba'avra al hatrato. So all of these that we've listed, including this one, is she leaves without a ketuba if there was edim that warned her first, and then she violated the hatra. So according to this, the question would be, what is when the Shulchan Aruch says Himin Hag Hatzniut Shnagu Benot Yisrael? So how is a klala against Minhag Hatzniut? We've been saying up until now that showing her arms, showing different other parts of her body, that it's not sanua, and there are different things that are going on in the Mishnah. It's very obvious how this is just a breach in modesty. So in what way is a klala a breach in her modesty? So I don't know if you have any questions, but I have but before we get, let me just ask another kasha that I had. So Gemara in Ayin Bet Amud Aleph says, "Ein adam dar ben im nachash bekfifa." So this comes up through our sugya that there's a concern that a man shouldn't be living with a snake in his house, with a wife who causes him to do averas, and he always has to be checking around. Maybe she's not taking off maser, maybe she's nida, and he's always paranoid that maybe she's making him trip up, and therefore we don't, it's not a situation that we want to keep on going on, and therefore yotzi v'yiktein ketubah. And it's brought down the Shulchan Aruch that that's the suggested mode of action. So the question is, in this case, how is she causing her husband to trip up? So she's cursing her in-laws. So that's causing him to do an avera somehow. What exactly is happening here? That's her avera. So how does this fit in to the rest of the list? Both in terms of, well, we've discussed, in terms of being Durabanan, and in terms of being against Minhag Etzniut, and third of all, being as some way that she's tripping up her husband. So, to answer both of the last two, I thought that, I don't know if anyone has like some way of. No? Okay, so one idea that I had is that Klala is Miloshen Kalu. And we see that in Shulchan Aruch, Yoredeya, Resh Mem Aleph, Halacha, Simin Vav. Ko hama vaze avivi imo, afilu bidvarim. If someone disgraces his father and mother, even with words, afilu birumiza, even with hinting, harize bichla arur mipi hagvura, this is, they get a curse from Hashem, from literally the mouth of of strength. Shenemar arur makle aviv imo. So the pasuk says, curse she whoever makle his father or mother. So what does that mean? So the Mefarshim explain on that pasuk in Chumash that it's milashon kalut. It's not only it is the idea of klala, but the idea of klala itself comes from the idea of kalon or kalut, just being mevazed, just disgracing, making someone into someone that's kal, making light of a person. So the yesh lebeitin lahakot zeh makot mardut lanush kapfi masheroi, and the beitin can give makot mardut on this, and they can punish according to what is appropriate. So what is okay? So first of all, so I think that might be able to answer how this is minhag hatsniu. It's what is the whole din of the klala? So the din of the klala is that she's cursing, but what is she really doing? She's disgracing. She's disgracing her in-laws. And there's a rule in Chazal that anyone who just like anyone who honors people will be honored, so too anyone who disgraces someone will be disgraced. And the pasuk says that kimachabdai achabed uvozayi kalu, that if someone will come and give honor, then they'll be honored, and if they scorn, then that same word yikalu, meaning they will be scorned by Hashem. So it could be that it's a disgrace for her, and if she's cursing her in-laws, so she looks stupid. She looks. I mean but that's the nature of being mevaza someone else. When we go ahead and we make light of someone else, that's making light of ourselves. So it could be that's somehow against the tzniut, a breach in her modesty, that she's going ahead and saying these curses against her in-laws. And it could be that could also answer the second kasha of how does it trip up her husband. It's in adam dar im nachash b'kfifa, he can't live with a snake in the house. It's not just that he's looking around for, you know, maybe she's getting him to do some masa avera. This isn't necessarily a masa avera, but it's an environment where it's disgracing his parents, and he's not going to be able to fulfill the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim kara'uy because she's making an environment where they're just a laughingstock. So it could be that fits into the rest of them, because even though it's not necessarily a concrete isser that she's getting him to do, she's creating a broader context that will lead to various isurim that he would follow along with, just because the nature of the being in that relationship with her. So now that I see this beitin lahakur al zeh makat mardut, I'm wondering if that could answer the first kasha. So I noticed you saw that. So makat mardut is given for what kind of isurim? Isurim d'rabbanan. So it could be that this is the makor I was looking for. Meaning, if you say that mekhalelet yolda b'funav is lav davka, because really it's only a klala midoraita that it is when you say the Shem Hashem, so maybe this is just a bizayim. So it's still a problem, but this is the perfect example of an Isur d'Rabbanan that gets makot mardut. So it could be that if she's so maybe it means mekhalel yolda b'funav, it really means that she's mevaza her in-laws. So maybe that's what it's referring to. So not sure, but could be. What, that she's mevaza them? Yeah, I mean, to say that.
It's like, I don't take you seriously, like.
Yeah, like let's see, mevaza. Yeah, I mean. Saying it sounds a lot worse than just a curse, right? But then again, like if a curse, right? Meaning it sounds like a curse. It's just like not with a Shem Hashem, so it still should be a Del Raita.
Well, curse without Shem Hashem, I don't know necessarily.
Oh, what?
A curse without Shem Hashem.
Oh, it would be bechlal, meaning no kinyan. Bechlal.
I just say something bad that happened to you.
Right, so that's what I'm saying. Meaning, okay, so it doesn't fall. So what category does it fall under? Maybe the only thing that it's left to fall under is the mevazeh. Because if you have like a three-level stratification, so it could be.
Yeah, cool. The mission says klala means a klala that's not a real klala in terms of tilchos klalos, but it's still a makla in terms of the
rabbein. Right. Yeah, could be. But anyways, just one of the. End with some divrei agadata, I guess, on relating to the sugya, relating to the sphere at homeware that we're going through. It just started Tiferet Shel Malchut, and you know that Tiferet is beauty, and Malchut is very much connected with the peh. So there's a lot of ways that works out, but I didn't even realize that it would land out like this when I was planning my sugya. But I just realized like the beauty of speech is definitely a very central topic that's going on in here, and that in spite of all the negative things that we're seeing in the sugya, we can learn the positive things that if we give kavod to other people through our speech, then that causes tiferet for ourselves and tiferet for others, and by that we can be increasing the malchut of Hashem in the world by using our mouths for proper speech and for making others feel like they have worth, that they have kavod, that they're not kal, they're not light, that the opposite, they have a heavy influence on the world. And that we do too, and to realize that for all people around us. So, thank you very much.